So this morning's scripture is Acts 2, 1 through 21. Now what I will confess to you this morning is, now that with the children's sermon, this may not be true, but it's going to hold true if the kids weren't here. The scripture's going to be longer than the sermon. So this is going to be a good day for most Presbyterians. Guy's already shaking his head. I like what I'm hearing. This won't be a 12:30 release, so... But I do promise you, the scripture is quite lengthy. So we'll go to the Lord now in Acts 2, in His Word, and listen to what God has to tell us here. So this is, again, Acts 2. I'm in the New Living Translation, by the way, so if you're following along in something else, it may read a little different, but all has the same meaning. Acts 2, 1 through 21. So this is when the Holy Spirit comes to the apostles in Jerusalem. So this is the time frame or the setting of this passage. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. What can this mean?" As they stood amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They are just drunk. That's all." Peter speaks up. He stepped forward, with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this," Peter says. "These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will also prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But, Peter says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I will admit, before I get started, this is a very hard message for me. Not the context of the message, but just trying to share something with you of value. I love the Lord. I love talking about Him. And so I'm just going to kind of put this thing in my words and try to provide you something to take with you as you leave today. Obviously, today is Pentecost Sunday, and our message is entitled this morning purposely out of Scripture. And what I titled this message was "Through You." Now you're probably wondering how in the world I got that title out of the scripture reading that I gave you this morning. I'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to remember the title of this message as I speak to you here this morning. So again, today is Pentecost Sunday, and it marks the birthday of our church. But unlike me, and maybe many of you who never know what to give someone for their birthday, God knew exactly what to give us. And thus, He gave us the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. And I want to share with you this morning that that's the greatest gift ever given to mankind. Outside of Jesus and Jesus' birth, life, ministry, death, resurrection, and all the salvation that comes with Him, Jesus didn't just leave us alone here on this earth. He gave us something of great value, immense value, and that's the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday is a significant moment in our Christian history. And it truly is third only to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. It is the most important day, in my opinion, in the Christian year. And like Easter Sunday, it should be a day of celebration, joy, and hope. You know, we use the word hope all the time, and quite frankly, I think without the Holy Spirit, what hope would we have? And I'll get into that in a minute. But what is Pentecost? The word Pentecost means 50. 50 because Pentecost is held 50 days after Passover. It was on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, and 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, that the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the Jesus followers and all who were gathered in Jerusalem that day. In Luke 24:40, we learn that before Jesus had returned to heaven, He had instructed His disciples to wait in Jerusalem and wait to be clothed in the power from on high. When the Holy Spirit came, it was powerful, it was dramatic, and it woke people up, literally brought them to the center core of the city to find out what was going on. It sounded like a violent roaring. Wind filled the house where they were all sitting, and tongues of fire rested on each of them, Scripture says. And they were filled with the power of God and began speaking other languages. Languages they didn't even know. Languages just moments before they could never speak. But the power of God instilled in them the ability to do that. What's important to note is that the same Holy Spirit, the very same that came on the first day of Pentecost, is the same Holy Spirit that is active in our church today. The Holy Spirit is simply the presence and power of Jesus Christ in our life. It is the Spirit of Jesus. It is how Jesus is truly with us every single day. During Jesus' earthly ministry, even though He was God in human form, He could not be in one place, more than one place at a time. You see, He was in human form. But as Jesus prepared to return to heaven, He said to the disciples, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." This promise revealed to us in Matthew 28 was fulfilled when 10 days later, the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus is with us now, and through which we encounter and experience God in our lives this very second. In layman's terms, it is the Holy Spirit that makes God real. Now, many of us, maybe even right now, struggle with something that's going on in our lives, and we look for a real God. We look for something tangible. You see, human beings are tangible people. We want something to hold on to. We urge or need human affection or affection from our friends and our loved ones, and we would want nothing more than to be able to wrap our arms around a physical Jesus and hug Him and ask Him for things that we need. But see, I too struggle with that as well. But Jesus is real. The difference is that He gave us the Holy Spirit. It's inside of us. It's real. It's what makes Him real. Even though we can't grab a hold to Him this very second and tangibly hold on to His hand or His arm or clutch Him in an embrace, Jesus is real because of the Holy Spirit, the gift, the greatest gift ever given to humankind, is with us this very second. So when you think that you are at your loneliest moments, you're not. And this gift, what we celebrate today, Pentecost Sunday, is the greatest gift given because it provides the realness of Jesus Christ in our lives as believers. During Jesus' earthly ministry, even though He was God, He was in human form. He came in human form so that He could relate to us and we could relate to Him. In John 14, we learn that Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate other than Me to help you, and this advocate will be with you forever." Jesus called it the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter who comes to guide and support us, working for us and with us each and every day. Until my preparation for this sermon, I was always wondering, how do you know you are a recipient of the Holy Spirit? For me personally, I've never found myself speaking in tongues. I've never found myself overwhelmed with the Spirit to a degree, like what is worded in Scripture this morning. I have felt the presence of Jesus in my life. I have felt overwhelmed personally, but not to the degree of where the entire community knew that something was happening in my house. As believers being filled with God's Spirit, this is a huge responsibility, you see, because it's not an idle responsibility. Again, some of us may wonder how we know. Well, Scripture declares that Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Thus, friends, when we open our hearts to Jesus, we open our hearts to His Spirit, the gift He gave us. Again, this is not an idle responsibility, being gifted with this Spirit. I'm not for sure if anybody present can speak in tongues, but each of you are gifted with the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, we need to be constantly filled or refreshed with God's Spirit, and to recognize that there is a difference between having the Holy Spirit and being filled of the Holy Spirit. As we experience more of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, thus a transformation begins to take place within each one of us. You see, the Holy Spirit's like a fruit, and it begins to grow inside of us after we have received Christ as our living Savior. We experience this through love and joy and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, the warm embrace of a friend. That's how we receive the Holy Spirit, or it is tangible to us. But with these feelings that we have, they are shared with us through the Spirit so that we can become more Christ-like. As the Spirit of Christ dwells within us, we then can share the Holy Spirit with others. With the Holy Spirit within us, we are the representative presence of Christ in the world today. I'm going to say that again. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are the representative presence of Christ in today's world. You are the representative presence of Him. You see, you are His hands, His feet, His eyes, and even His touch. Through us, Christ reaches out and serves the world in the aforementioned things. one of which, and most importantly, is love. Thus, as we seek to serve Christ, we need to open ourselves much more to the Holy Spirit. It is a day of true celebration. It is a gift that we should relish in. And we should release that Spirit that is within us this morning and share it with those around us. Now, some will say, me included, I'm not worthy to serve God like this. Well, let me remind you of what we read in Scripture this morning. Pentecost, as baptism, is a gift God gave to the whole church and to every single believer. On the day of Pentecost, Scripture references Peter preaching and his response that is later known to be a sermon. We see this in Scripture this morning. And Scripture even goes on to say that after Peter spoke, souls were converted. In Acts, we learn Peter preached the first sermon about Jesus. Now, friends, this is the same Peter that we all know, who 53 days earlier had said about Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, I never knew him. This is the same Peter who had nothing to say about Jesus when someone asked him directly if he was one of the followers. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stood before a crowd of the same people he once feared, yet he boldly declared the gospel of Jesus Christ. Going further, Peter stood before many of the same people who had shouted, "Crucify him." You remember in the story, Peter was right down there with them. And thus they did. Jesus stood trial before Pontius Pilate in the city of Jerusalem and died for it. And Peter let it happen, along with others. Now Peter declared in no uncertain terms the man that they had ordered to be crucified and now was dead, in fact, was the Son of God. How did Peter go from being scared to being fearless? How did Peter go from being cowardly to being courageous? And how did Peter go from denying Jesus to defending Jesus? Before this very same people in the very same place, how did this transformation happen to Peter? Peter did not simply change his mind. Peter himself was changed, much like me and you. Something happened to Peter and the other 10 apostles as well to set them on fire for Jesus Christ to such a degree that it was soon said about them in Acts 17, "Here are those who are turning the world upside down." What happened to them and what needs to happen to everyone who calls him or herself a disciple of Jesus Christ is what Pentecost is all about. So when you say you're not worthy, what I will tell each one of you is you certainly aren't Peter. And Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost marks the outpouring of the Holy Spirit by which human beings are equipped to do the work of God. Look at it this way. If Christmas marks the birth of Jesus, Pentecost marks the birth of the church. If Easter marks the day when Jesus was raised from the dead, Pentecost marks the day when the message about Jesus began to make its way to the people and the places all over the world. And by which means did that happen? Through you and me, through people like you and me. The fact that we have failed to truly understand and observe this day, like that of Christmas and Easter, does not change the basic truth this day holds for us as believers. unless we make room for Pentecost in our understanding of what it means to be a Christian, we never truly will understand our faith fully, in my humble opinion. Remember that in Acts 1, 6, 8, Jesus tells the apostles to remain in the city of Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He was not sending them out to evangelize on the basis of their life experience or their understanding of religion or laws or teachings of the day. He was not suggesting that they had spent 3 years in his presence and that had resulted in them being equipped to be the work of Christ that lay ahead. Instead, he told them to wait for the power, wait for the anointing, wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And once that power had arrived, they would be ready to go. Until that happened, wait. See, there's a difference from them to you and me. We know what they didn't know. We share in the good news every day. We have the ability to read Scripture and learn all there is to know because of those people who listened to Christ that day, who accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, and who was filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the same power as the apostles this morning because you have been gifted with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday is the day we remember when and how that anointing took place. As believers in Christ Jesus this morning, you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. You are anointed with the Holy Spirit. You are His eyes. You are His hands, His feet, His voice, and most importantly, His touch. Let me say that again. You are His representative presence. You are it. Many people that sit beside you have the same anointing. As a believer, it's your job to share this good news. It's up to you to be the fisherman of men. You are gifted whether you believe it or not. Jesus knocked on your door and you let Him in. And now you have shared a meal together. You have been baptized. You are a believer. You share in communion. We do that next week together. You are anointed with the Holy Spirit. God has gifted you with all that you need this morning. Here's the challenge. And the words that God's been looking for. The last paragraph of the sermon. Here's the challenge. You see, re-gifting is really not popular at Christmas. Is it? You get a gift, you really don't like it, but you say, oh, thanks, I appreciate it. It's beautiful. Party's over, what am I going to do with this? Well, see, Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit's different. You are anointed. You've been given this Spirit, this gift. Now He expects us to re-gift it. You see, it's our duty as disciples of Jesus Christ to give it, to share it. Remember, you are His voice of hope. You are a representative of His love. What greater responsibility to the world is that? You are His feet that help Him walk. You are His hands that help Him touch. You are His eyes that help Him see. You see, He's real and He lives in you and me. The Holy Spirit rests upon us. It is our duty to share it. Thus, this is how the title of the message came. It is only shared through you. Christ's ministry rests on you. Now it's our job to share it with the world, with this community, with our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones. Through you, the anointed, Christ lives. Amen.